I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. I want to talk a little bit about your thesis. And I know that it's a personal document for you, but there were some really important elements within the thesis that I really want to unpack and talk about. The thesis is called The Displaced People. Is that correct?
Yes.
And essentially, it is your attempt at unpacking the psychological and emotional impact and effects of never feeling like you're at home, essentially never really feeling like you belong or you fit, which is an identity and an experience that almost every Armenian, and I dare say almost every immigrant, could probably relate to. Can you talk to me a little bit about what inspired you to actually explore that topic?
What has inspired me to write that was the sense of not knowing what home feels like and not knowing where I belong. And is Australia my home? Yeah. I've lived most of my life in Australia. Yeah. And most of my achievements, personal and career achievements, taken place in Australia. But it's that tight sense of having my, calling Australia my home, I'm unable to do. Mm. And as you have mentioned in your previous videos, I have this strong connection to my motherland, which is Armenia, although I never lived there. But there's this deep sense of belonging there. Unfortunately, I am able to say that most of the people, most of the Armenians that I talk to, even if they lived in the US or Australia for 30, 40, 50 years, they have that sense of not knowing where their home is. And I'm extremely sad to see the people in the corner of Arabah setting their houses on fire and moving. Can you imagine that house that you have built with so much difficulty and effort and your sweat, you set on fire and you leave? It must be an incredibly brave thing to do, incredibly difficult thing to do. And knowing you become homeless, literally, and you don't know where you're going to end up. Where are you going to end up? You couldn't even sell your house. You just set it on fire, gone. This is something that a lot of Armenians relate to. And not knowing, not having that attachment to the ground and to earth, is not a nice thing to feel.
Yeah, it is. You know, I keep coming back to that experience every time I watch something, and I watch people drive away from their homes. Every time I read another, you know, tweet or a story posted on Instagram about someone setting their house on fire, I keep watching images of the Dadivanka Monastery and having to abandon it and having it potentially be destroyed, having 800 years of history completely erased and rewritten, and so having to just leave again, right? And you mentioned that this was not the first time that the Armenian community or the land has been subjected to this. The Nakhichevan story is one that is really interesting, because that to me is the first time that I've read about the scorched earth, and I thought, wow, this happened in 1603, right? 1604, and here we are in 2020, we're watching almost the same thing unfold to the same people from the same region. It's really hard for your brain to sort of process that information.
Look, Nakhichevan, the name Nakhichevan is an Armenian name, means the first initial place of land, somewhere that landed, which is historically where it's believed that Noah's Ark landed there. And the name is itself Armenian. So he could see that its history, the history of his existence, goes back to the Armenian roots. And it was by the Russians given to Azeris, Azerbaijan, you know? So it makes us unsettled on even a deeper level. So, hence coming back to my conversation about transgenerational trauma. And on an unconscious or conscious level, we think Nakhichevan was given to the Azerbaijan, then Nagorno-Karabakh was given to the Azerbaijan, and it gives us this sense of uncertainty and fear and anxiety. What is going to be next? Is this the end? And when I say transgenerational trauma causes anxiety, that's what it looks like, and that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, and this idea of it just it for me it connects a lot of dots, right? It connects, there's been so many times that I've sort of people talk about setting a bridge on fire so you don't go back, right? And not everybody can do that. And I've often wondered how is it and why is it that I do that so easily. There is nothing in my individual life and experience that would give me any kind of strength or skill or special force to be able to do that, because that just takes so much where you burn your own house down in order to move forward and in order to do something better or greater. And I've often wondered why is it that I'm able to do that, and I see are my Armenian brothers and sisters being able to do that a lot easier than a lot of other cultures. I've often wondered why. And a lot of this history sort of connects a lot of dots, right? It's
Makes
because
sense.
historically, that's what we've had to do. And if you
Yes,
understand,
historically.
right? And if you understand transgenerational trauma, the physiology and biology of it.
So if you think about, if I want to talk about my father, okay, so my father's great grandparents had to leave everything in Nakhichevan and they moved to Iran. When they were in, they moved to a rural and regional area in Iran, and when he was 9, they were forced to relocate and be displaced and move from there to Tehran. When he was 45, he was forced to relocate and be displaced from Iran to Sydney. And I sometimes wonder, what would he be feeling? The only thing that comes out of this transgenerational trauma and so much displacement is this sense of resilience, which we see in Armenians. And there's a common thread that you see in people who have been displaced so much. And that resilience is overpowering if you know Armenians and you can see that commonality within them.
So I wonder if maybe part of this conversation, or maybe part of the, and you're a psychotherapist, so you understand the idea of reframing the experience, right? I wonder if part of how we get out of this cycle of violence is by reframing the situation we're in, instead of looking at it from the perspective of where our home is, perhaps we need to look at who we are.
Absolutely. And there's a very famous quote in psychotherapy, and it says, it's not how many times you have been fallen, it's how quickly you get up and move on.
Right.
And that's something that we have learned as a nation, and the psyche of our culture and our community has learned this, not just in the last 100 years, but hundreds of years. Is not, we know, it's like we know on an unconscious level that this is inevitable and it will happen again. But you know what? I'm going to dust off and then get up and move on.
Right.
And when I move on, I'll be stronger than what I was. And I think we need to acknowledge that, and we need to hold on to that, and we need to raise that awareness on a community level and be so proud of it and cherish it and reinforce it and be positive about it, because that's what's worth in all these hundreds of years, and not give up.
I want to read a couple of things that really stood out to me in your thesis, and you said something about I have, and just maybe you could just tell me, put these into context in relation not just to you but in relation to other, just as us as people. I must have been very young when I learned that I was Armenian and we were the other, right? And we, yes. This was not our home. And that is a sentiment and a feeling that a lot of us have experienced. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So we always know we are the other, wherever we are, because we know that that's not our home country. And just putting it back to the citizens of Nagorno-Karabakh to have lived there, and now they realize they are the other. And they set their houses on fire. Can you imagine how traumatizing it is?
Hmm. Yeah. The other thing that stood out was because we were Armenians, and I think you can just plug in any from wherever you are, in whatever nation, whatever kind of dominant nation, we always have this sense of not being entitled to the same things as the people in that country, and that perpetuating this feeling of we do not deserve.
And that all comes under the umbrella of transgenerational trauma. That always comes under that, because you know that on an unconscious level you think, oh, I experienced that because I wasn't good enough. If I was good enough, this wasn't going to happen to me. So I don't deserve this. And that's so deep rooted in a lot of Armenians. And the only way we can get out of this cycle of transgenerational trauma and this way of thinking and this mentality is firstly to be aware of it. To be aware of it and to know what it does to us, how damaging it can be, and to work, try to come out of it. And that's by unity and the sense of empowerment that we can find within us and connect to other Armenians. But I feel like the Armenians on an unconscious level know and are convinced that they are the displaced people, and that displacement is never going to finish.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, that we are on an unconscious level, and that's why it's so easy, almost easy, for Armenians to pick up their bag and move city, move country. Have you not noticed that in your work?
Of course. I mean, I've noticed that in my own life. I mean, I moved, I don't know, seven or eight times every 12 months, 15 months.
It's only hard the first time.
Without even batting an eye. Like,
only first time it's difficult. After that, it becomes easy because you become resilient. You learn how to manage. My argument is that it shouldn't. Why? Why are we the displaced people? Why should we be the displaced people? You can see why Armenians are so tired these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's paralyzing to some degree. I mean, so many, I can speak for a lot of people that I follow and have been and become the voice of this movement in the diaspora, particularly in the U.S. A lot of us haven't done any work in 40 some odd days. You know, a lot of us have not been able to actually function properly in as many days. It creates this sense of paralysis and helplessness that, you know, I'm hoping that having these types of conversations helps people feel empowered to say you have choices, you have options, there's ways to get out of this cycle of violence, and also to remember who we are. We are the descendants. We are people. You know, I know the research you did in your paper, which I didn't know, you know, we're related on our dad's side. It goes back to Nakhichevan. I had no idea. And to think that... It made me feel so empowered today, you know, and feel like, wow, if we've survived thousands of years, right, and we're descendants of that kind of lineage, we can endure. There's a sense of resiliency that comes with that.
Of course, of course. And that's what drives us forward. Although it drives us forward unconsciously, we need to make that conscious and be proud of it and be proactive to acknowledge it, but also bring others into it so that brings that sense of unity and strength.
Give us some things to help us cope with the anxiety and deal, and not just that, but also be of service to the people who need it the most.
I think it's charity starts from home. You need to be kind to yourself. If you are crying, if you are upset, if you can't sleep, if you're jumpy because you came from the war in Syria, you came from the war in Iran, or something from Iraq, as we know, there are Armenians everywhere. Get help. Speak to someone professional. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to your family. Try to manage the household affair in a way that there's no family violence or domestic violence. And that ripple effect should become bigger and bigger. That should extend to your neighbors, to your brothers and sisters, to the extended family, and eventually to the whole community. Whether you're in Armenia, whether you're in the US, whether you're in diaspora, wherever you are. And if you have the capacity and the ability to help anyone, whether it's in your own country or in Armenia or in Artsakh, do that. Reach out and help. And try to avoid the fragmentation. The fragmentation of the society and the community, the damage of that is very big, is extremely big, and we don't want that. And be mindful of that. And respect the democracy and the values of democracy.
Right. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for allowing us to dig into your mind and your heart and your and giving us some hope and empowering us with some information to feel better about where we are and where we're going and how to move forward. I want to thank Andriana Karapetyan again. Full transparency, she's my first cousin all the way from Australia, and this is just an incredible excuse to connect with her and talk with her. Thank you for being there, not just
so much
for me, but for the community. We appreciate
you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for the opportunity to to tell you what I have in my heart. Thank you so much. And I wish everyone the best wherever they are in the world.
Thank you. See you on the next show. Bye.